Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Yasyam Vitamalaya Shakshavana Bhogaha. Sadyak Punati Jagadashva Pachad Vikunta. Soham Bhavadvya Upalabdha Sutirtha Kirtish. Chindyam Swabhavum Api Vakpati Kula Vrittim. Yasya Vritam Alaya Shakshravana Vagaha. Sadhya Punati Jagadashva Pachad Vikunta. Soham Bhavadvya Upalabdha Sutirtha Kirtish. Chindyam Svabhavum Api Vak Pratikula Vrittim. Yasya, of whom, Amrita, nectar, Amala, uncontaminated, Yashaha, glories, Shravana, hearing, Avagaha, entering into. Sadyaha. Immediately. Punati. Purifies. Jagat. The universe. Ashwapachat. Including even the dog eaters. Vikuntaha, without anxiety. Saha, that person. Aham, I am. Bhavadbhyaha, from you. Upalabdha, obtained. Sutirtha. The best place of pilgrimage. Kirtihi. The fame. Chindyam. Would cut off. Swabahum. My own arm. Api. Even. Vaha, towards you. Pratikula vrittim. Acting inimically. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. Anyone in the entire world, even down to the Chambala, who lives by cooking and eating the flesh of the dog, is immediately purified if he takes bath and hearing through the ear, the glorification of my name, fame, etc. Now you have realized me without doubt. Therefore I will not hesitate to lop off my own arm if its conduct is found hostile to you.
Purport.
Real purification can take place in human society if its members take to Krishna consciousness. This is clearly stated in all Vedic literature. Anyone who takes to Krishna consciousness in all sincerity, even if he is not very advanced in good behavior, is purified. A devotee can be recruited from any section of human society. Although it is not expected that everyone in all segments of society is well behaved. As stated in this verse and in many places in Bhagavad Gita, even if one is not born in a Brahmin family, or even if he is born in a family of Chandalas, if he simply takes to Krishna consciousness, he is immediately purified. In Bhagavad Gita, 9th chapter, verses 30 to 32, it is clearly stated that even though a man is not well behaved, if he simply takes to Krishna consciousness, he is understood to be a saintly person. As long as a person is in this material world, he has two different relationships in his dealings with others. As long as a person is in this material world, he has two different relationships in his dealings with others. One relationship pertains to the body, and the other pertains to the spirit. As far as bodily affairs or social activities are concerned, although a person is purified on the spiritual platform, it is sometimes seen that he acts in terms of his bodily relationships. If a devotee born in the family of a Chandala, the lowest caste, is sometimes found engaged in his habitual activities, he is not to be considered a Chandala. In other words, a Vaishnava should not be evaluated in terms of his body. The Shastra states that no one should think the deity in the temple to be made of wood or stone, and no one should think that a person coming from a lower caste family who has taken to Krishna consciousness is still of the same low caste. These attitudes are forbidden because anyone who takes to Krishna consciousness is understood to be purely purified. He is at least engaged in the process of purification. And if he sticks to the principle of Krishna consciousness, he will very soon be fully purified. The conclusion is that if one takes to Krishna consciousness with all seriousness, he is to be understood as already purified. And Krishna is ready to give him protection by all means. The Lord assures herein that he is ready to give protection to his devotee, even if there is need to cut off part of his own body. This is a statement that's being made by Lord Narayan himself. The one point being made here is that by hearing the glorification of my name, fame, etc., even the lowest person whose behavior is pretty bad becomes immediately purified. Not that he has to take birth again in a proper family. So that's a radical statement. Immediately purified. Sadyak punati. In the same low-class body, he becomes sanctified. That's the radical program of ISKCON. Prabhupada's purport is a very radical purport along those lines. And there are, most of the brahmanas in India cannot accept this. Even many Vaishnavas
even many Gaudiya Vaishnavas have still got their caste prejudices. This is why the Jati Goshais, caste Goswamis, are listed as one of the upper sampradayas by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. They're basically bogus. It's a bogus idea to assume that by virtue of your birth, you're automatically a great devotee of Lord Chaitanya. And you're because your father is a Goswami, therefore you have the power and the privilege to be an initiating guru. Because it came down in the family. In ancient times, Vedic rishis did pass down the family business to their sons. You know, the sons also became the next rishi in the line. That was normal. There were lines of disciplic successions of rishis which were also family lines. But that was not in Kali Yuga. Now everything is very corrupt. And it is a very great false pretense to presume that nowadays, just because your father is a Goswami, that you're already accepted by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu just by your birth. That's rejected by Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Bhaktisiddhanta. And on the other hand, they insisted that even based on many statements like this in the Bhagavatam, that even the Chandala dog eater, Ashwapacha. Chandala is a person who works in the cemetery. And Ashwapacha specifically means a dog eater. Even the lowest category of human being doesn't even mean dog eater. It doesn't even mention cow eater. That's unmentionable. In other words, the term cow eater doesn't show up in the Bhagavatam. It's too obscene. So we come from stock that's worse than Shvapacha, unmentionable stock. Even such people can, in the same body, become sanctified. This is what Prabhupada is insisting here. And the caste Goswamis and those under their influence, and many of the Babaji's also, still have this caste prejudice that those who are born as Brahmins are the natural gurus. And even, you know, the natural devotees are those who are born in the right families and not anybody else. So our program, in fact, Prabhupada has taken the mlechas, the worst people from the worst social class, and made them gurus, made them initiating gurus in the line of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So a lot of the brahmanas, and a lot of the people who are under the influence of those brahmanas, for them this is completely unacceptable. Even Lord Narayan says, coming right out of the mouth of Lord Narayan on the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam, Yasya Amritam Rilaya Shokshravanava Gaha Sanyak Punati. Someone, even Ashwapacha, even Ashwapacha, he immediately becomes purified. Not only becomes purified, Punati is not passive. He purifies. He is sanct. He is purifying. He purifies others by his association. Anyway, believe it or not, that's just poetry. You know, just speaking in exaggerated language. Of course, Narayan isn't going to actually cut his arm off. And neither is this fact thing about the Swapacha is really true. That's how people may take it. But we have so many examples in our ISKCON movement of persons worse than dog eaters who have become bona fide gurus. So what? You can think whatever you want. We have the practical examples of how the lowest class people have been transformed. Even those who haven't acted as, you know, taken on disciples, they become the exemplary Vaishnavas. to deny this is a very serious mistake. To say that you people in ISKCON are just low class, you know, and Lord Chaitanya is showing his mercy to you, and, you know, in some form. But ISKCON is for low class people. That's a great offense. You are just a bunch of, drug crazed hippies. Well, that Prasad Prabhupada started his movement with was drug crazed hippies. By saying such a thing, one is committing Vaishnava Aparadha against, in one sentence, by one mouthful, he's managing to commit Vaishnava Aparadha against hundreds and thousands of Vaishnavas. Very bad idea. Prabhupada is giving us good guidance in this purport, taking a very radical stand on this issue. And the whole existence of ISKCON and the further progress of ISKCON and blossoming of ISKCON stands in the face of all these Brahminical prejudices. We should consider it our responsibility, our mission, to destroy these offensive Brahminical prejudices. People in India don't want to follow these Brahmanas. You know, Panditji lives down the street and he, you know, does this and that, and who wants to take him seriously as any kind of spiritual authority? So no one wants to accept the spiritual authority of the Brahmanas. The young people today don't want to hear anything about Dharma. No. And they want to become like their degraded counterparts in the West. They want to become like, just like Western young men and women. And forget completely that they're anything different. That they have any spiritual culture. They want to throw it away. And they're doing a good job at that. And it's because the Brahmins became, they lost their reputation. They lost their respect. People don't want to listen to them anymore. And that goes back 5,000 years. When the Kshatriyas stopped listening to the Brahmanas because the Brahmanas weren't fit to listen to, then the Kshatriyas became weak and the foreigners marched in. Bhaktivinoda Thakur even traces this political history in his book Tattva Vivek, how Buddhism was a revolt, in Bhaktivinoda Thakur's opinion, of Kshatriyas against the Brahmanas. They didn't want to follow the Brahminical authority anymore because the Brahmins were all corrupt. So they started their own Kshatriya religion, Buddhism. Of course, Buddha was himself a prince, and the original supporters of Buddhism, at least the ones who gave money and protection, were kings. It's because of the support of these kings that Buddhism thrived. So it's a Kshatriya movement. It's a rebellion against the Brahmanas. And then Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, furthermore, the Jain religion is a Vaishya religion. It's a further rebellion of the Vaishyas against the Kshatriyas. The Kshatriyas use violence to maintain control, and the Vaishyas are using the only weapon that the helpless have is non-violence, just like Gandhi, you know, defeated the British with his non-violence, supposedly. So the Brahmins preach non-violence. And nowadays, I don't know what it was like in ancient times, and the Jain religion is not so big anymore, and all they have is a few hundred sannyasis, very strict, very austere. And the rest of their congregation is just very rich businessmen. So it's a religion for Vaishyas. And then in modern times, socialism has become the religion. Bengal and Tamil Nadu, communism. And that's the religion of the Shudras. That's the social history of what happens, how everything goes down, down, down. Class struggle, because the Brahmanas lose control because no one wants to listen to them anymore because they're corrupt. because they're not serving Krishna and they're not Krishna conscious, and then they're useless, and people aren't stupid. They just don't want to listen to the Brahmins anymore. That's Kali Yuga. That's what we have to fight against. We have to make real Brahmanas. To put these bogus Brahmanas to shame. Are any questions or comments? Yeah.
I remember hearing one explanation that Jai Vijaya, I like the arms of Vishnu, but it doesn't seem to sense.
Well, oh, did you hear that from somebody, or did you
hear that? I heard it.
Well, in some poetic way, okay. But Pritchard also said a similar thing. No, he didn't say that. He said, I would cut even a demigod's arm off. That's different, okay. Yeah. I mean, a son or a servant is very close to one. And the way to really drive the idea home poetically is to say you would even cut your own arm off. That means I would even punish my own son, my own servant. Yeah, okay. There's a poetic connection there. But I wouldn't take any real analogy out of it, that in any real sense, Jaya Vijaya are the arms of Vishnu.
Yeah.
Yeah, something like that, but poetically it's absent.
Hey, do you remember anything about that in the commentary?
No. Well, yeah, we haven't looked at the commentaries yet of this chapter. Well, we could. What verse is it? 6?
16.
Okay, generally we go to the next verse, but okay, we can look at chapter 6 commentary today.
Okay.
Yeah. We can do all the commentaries. But we don't have a good handle on this, we don't have the books. What? No, but okay, but that's sort of cheating because the words are broken up. They're not broken up. They're not broken up yet.
Yeah,
but they are. We were going to look into the scanner business. I'll ask Ajahn Bharati Maharaj this morning about if they have a scanner over there. We can start scanning some pages and then, and then printing them out or something. I pick pages out of this.
Okay.
Thank you. All glory to Srila Prabhupada.